Book of Romans, we have another huge, important theme. Now, when it comes to teaching on the subject of government, oh my goodness. I have to admit that I'm not an expert at all, but that's the next section. I'm preaching through Romans. That's the text I got. I feel very inadequate to press on into this Romans chapter 13. Listen, my goal in doing this, because I just want to be faithful to the Word and give you guys something that's going to help you as you live out your lives. Because, I'll get it to a minute, but, basically it's like this, is that we would live a life of love. For those that are Christians, you are a citizen of heaven and you're a citizen of the world. You're in two places. And so we need to live out our lives as citizens of heaven, love in this world, and yet we need to do that as citizens of the world. And one of the big differences is citizens of heaven have as their highest goal love. Love. That's it. In the section that we read, it's all about love from beginning to end. That's what we're called to do. Now, people of the world, people who don't know Christ, I mean, I don't mean that in a disparaging way or anything. Please hear me out. I mean, it's just, I'm saying that Christ has a vision and a purpose for us. So, now, love is kind of a means to get other things that you might want. But, Paul's defining this a little bit different for us, and that's actually a very good thing. Now, keep in mind that the Apostle Paul or myself are not going to tell you everything about governments. That would be really foolhardy, and it would be impossible, and it would be unwise to do in any one message or in any single Bible text. The purpose of this passage is to argue that no matter what government you are living under in this world, you can certainly trust God, and He will protect you. And then secondly, our primary call is to love. That's our primary call above all. And, besides, we can love even the most wicked and the worst ruler in the whole world, and we can do that with love because God might want to, and God does want to communicate to them and save them. That's what it's about. And so in this passage, Paul does not address government persecution, which happens. He does not address slavery. And that was happening in their day. He does not address government corruption. And that was just rampant in those days. He doesn't talk about anything like that. He's given us more of a positive role of how we can live out our lives and be an example for Christ. Now, if we review just a little bit, because we've been going through Romans, Romans chapter 12 began with living your lives by the mercy of God. So it's the mercy and love of God that leads us on. And then what Paul did in their letter, very logical, he goes through and he says, if you're going to live your lives by love and by the mercies of God and Christ who saved you, this is what it looks like in the church. And he gave a good description. He said, this is really what it looks like when you do that in a church setting like this. And then right after that, he said, this is what it looks like if you're living out your life in the world. And, I've had jobs in the world you have. Not everybody wants to follow Christ. And I get that. And so he was sharing that with people. And then, of course, here's a logical question. What about government? You mean government too? You mean I got to love the government? I have to, what's my relationship to them? It was relevant because in their faith, what they did was they confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Now, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You believe in your heart, you are saved. You are saved. That's what Paul teaches. And you see, at the same time, there was another guy named Caesar, and he believed he was Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So it was a very logical question for someone to ask, what do I do? How am I supposed to handle this? Now, Paul wants to say this, that our submission to civil authorities in all its forms is an expression of love for other people. This underscores the importance of love in the Christian life. It's all about love. It calls us to be a loving person in everything that we do. And I really think that this section of Scripture could not be more timely. My goodness. Are you guys grieved by all the fighting and the arguing and the bickering?
It is so sad. I think we have gone down to a new low of loathing in this country. I mean, there is just so much hatred. It is sad. And personally, I don't think it's going to be good for our nation. It is not a good path. And so I think this is very relevant. So the first point that Paul talks is he says, you know, you got to understand that government is God's purpose for the world, divinely appointed. That's what he says. He says, everyone must submit himself to every governing authority, for there is no authority except that which is given by God. Check it out. He doesn't give any specific form of government, does he? No one. Everybody shouldn't be a Republican. He didn't say that. And he didn't say communism was bad. You see, communism, I mean, I get it, is not good because as a basis it has godlessness. But hear what he's saying. He is not saying that any one form of government in this world is the right way of government. Doesn't say that. Christians in this world have lived under every form of government that you could possibly imagine. And, you know, when Paul's writing this, he is not under a democracy at all. He's writing to believers who are in the capital city of the Roman Empire, and persecution was just getting ready to break out at that time. Horrible persecution. As a matter of fact, he had some friends. They were Aquila and Priscilla, and he had met them in another place over on the other side of where he was. Anyway, so he was visiting with these guys, and they had been expelled from Rome. They had been expelled because Claudius, the emperor at that time, had caused all of the Jewish people to leave. He said, you're out of here. And he kicked them all out of Rome. And the Christians at that point were still considered part of Judaism. Now, this letter was written about AD 55. 5 years before that, Claudius gave the decree. So they can see this coming. Paul is trying to encourage believers, and there are some really positive teachings in what he's saying. God is in control. The best example of that is you take Pilate, not a very good ruler. Pilate actually did not reward good behavior, but he punished the only perfect man that ever existed, that was Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ and Pilate had a little discussion, Pilate told him, he said, don't you know that I have the authority to release you or the authority to crucify you? And Jesus' answer to him was, you would have no authority over me unless it were given to you from above. It is good to know that God is actually in control. This means that for the Roman Christians and for us as well, that it is God's will to govern this world through human civil authorities. It's God's plan. It's not man's plan. God created government. Man didn't. Man doesn't sustain it. God does. And in fact, in this section, what he's saying is he's saying that God has stripped rulers of all their final authority. They are not God. God is God. And God's perfect will is going to be worked. Even if you have the most evil and wicked rulers, it might seem that evil is winning. God is still in control. I saw this testimony. I got to share this with you. I had a couple testimonies just to help bring this home to us. And I found this in a very unlikely place a couple months ago. And I put copies of it right outside my office there. So you can grab one and read it later if you wish. But basically, this guy is a pastor and he lived in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And the Democratic Republic of Congo and that whole area is a mess because of government corruption. And because the UN is just basically failing to eradicate all the horrible things that are happening there. So this guy was taken captive and he was held for ransom. Guess what he did when he was being held for ransom? He's in prison, in jail, and they're threatening to kill him, and he's singing praise songs. And he's just praising God. He's praying. He's saying, Lord, you can take care of this. I'm just going to praise, and I'm just going to worship. Guess what happened? This tribe, this group of rebels, they used witchcraft to have power when they went into battle. And we saw this when we lived in Sierra Leone. their witchcraft all of a sudden didn't work anymore. And they had to have a special meeting to figure out who was causing the witchcraft not to work. They drew lots. Guess who the lot fell on? The pastor. They had two choices. They were going to either kill him or they were going to let him go. The chief witch doctor decided that it was better to let him go. The same day they decided that, a group from the church showed up in the village with the ransom money. They didn't want the ransom money. They actually just said, you guys get out of here. If you turn around and look at us, we're going to shoot you. So they submitted and they left. You know, I'll tell you, we just got to see that God is in control of these things. You know, it's meant to give you peace and comfort when you see some horrible things happening. Just take stock in the fact that God is working. The second thing that's difficult to understand, because our minds can't get this, but it's encouraging, is he can use these people for good. He can actually use these people for good. And when I was looking at this message and preparing it, I thought about an example that happened to my wife and I and our little baby. So our daughter, Rachel, she was in a child seat at that time. She was just barely over a year. And we were in Sierra Leone. If you've ever seen the movie Blood Diamonds, that's when we lived there. And we were actually in the midst of this horrible war that was going on. And we had to travel from the capital city up to our town. And we were driving up there. And as we got to this government checkpoint on the road, there were two guys. I would say they were 10 or 11 years old. They had machine guns on and army uniforms. And they were just wasted out of their mind. And they came up to us and they threatened us. And they wanted to know what we had. They wanted to know where we were going. And I had this vision in my mind, you know, on CNN or Fox or whatever you happen to watch, you know, two missionaries and a baby get killed in Sierra Leone, you know. And so as we're sitting there and we're just submitting to them, I'm trying to tell them no. And I didn't think about it at the time. Can God work good out of this? But he was. They're the authorities. He's able to make it work good. We need to have faith and trust. One of the guys who was interrogating us at that time, the boys walked up to the gate that held us back. He opened up the gate and he just started waving us through. And his other buddy was there holding the machine gun, so I just put it in gear and I drove. And I expected there were going to be fires anytime, gunshots. We just kept going and we kept driving and we went away. And I remember now as I thought about it, thinking about this message, work for good. You know, we need to have faith and hope and trust that God is working. He can actually work for good, even if we don't like the government. You know, there's just way too much complaining. There's way too much moaning and crying. Let's ask God to work. He can work in the most difficult of situations. They need our prayers. We are positioned. So the last point that I want to end up with, I put it on your outlines there, because I want to give you some encouragement here. It's difficult for us in our country nowadays. How shall we live? Faith in Christ, humility, and self-denial are vastly more important for the Christian than that we be treated well by the government. We are in a position, dear friends in Christ. God has given us the opportunity to say something and to say something well and to be a blessing and encouragement to people. This is what he's done. And this faith and love that we share is our cross that we bear. We bear it for the glory of God so that God can actually use us. Jesus talked about salt. Salt penetrates. It flavors. It gets in and it keeps things from rotting. We don't want our country to rot. We want it to be preserved. And you know, I found an alarming statistic that studies have been shown that just 2% of the population can influence the entire country. 2%. That's not a whole lot of salt. Now that 2% can be militant in belief, or that 2% can be Christian love. It's powerful and it doesn't take a lot of salt, but salt needs to be salty. Do we want Christians in government? Sure we do. But let's not confuse the fact that America or any other country in this world is not the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." The kingdoms of this world, they operate by laws. We should act, we should advocate. We want good laws. Laws protect society, but laws can be broken. You see, what people need is Jesus Christ. The heart of the problem is still the heart of the problem. And, you know, if we really want to influence society, then we need to work on an individual level where people can be changed. And the only person that can do that is Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, there certainly are some political and moral issues that as Christians we cannot support, because God does not support them. But we should speak up peacefully and in the right way at the right time. And we should pray. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham interceded with God, and God was so attentive to that prayer. God stayed and he listened to Abraham. And Abraham went through. He said, "Lord, if there's 50 people in that city, please save it." And God said, "Yes, I will." And then he went all the way, and I guess down to 10. He goes, "If there's that many in it, Lord, please save it." And God says, "I certainly will." And there wasn't even that. But you know what God did? The people that were there, he saved them. He made sure that Lot, and he got them out of there, and nothing harmed them. Our God is great at delivering us, and he loves us, and we have such a wonderful flavor to bring to this world. I pray that just God encourages us to do it. You know, there is such a desperate need for that in our nation. And I want to encourage you that God has divinely positioned you to say something in Christ. Our God is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And he protects us and keeps us safe. We have the best of all possible worlds, don't we? I mean, we have salvation. He saved us. He's watching over us. And then he says, "I can work everything for good." Oh, people of God, you know, let's just be encouraged. Let's be lifted up. Let's thank God for what he's given us to say. And I know there's so much to be discouraged about. If you're discouraged, let's encourage one another. And let's speak out for what is right with words of love and peace and hope. In Jesus' name, amen.